You, the author of the Bible, are obviously the teacher of the Bible, and I ask that you'd help us to understand it. Daniel is a man that shows how you teach the Bible, and that way we get the true interpretation from you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there are two men in the Bible that interpreted dreams. One guy was put second ruler in the kingdom. The other guy was put third ruler in the kingdom. Okay, the first guy is Joseph. He's the greatest type of Christ in the Bible. The second guy is Daniel. He was made third ruler in the kingdom, so he in type is the Holy Ghost. Okay, so both of these men interpreted a dream. Remember that a dream occurred. A dream is how God spoke his words through before written revelation. This is how Abraham got his answers from God, through dreams and vision, dreams by sleeping, vision by being awake. So this is how God spoke to people. Numbers 12:6 would be the passage, if you want to verify that, give you the authority on that, where he speaks his words through dreams and visions. Now in this story, in Daniel 2, if we read the first verse, and as far as Nebuchadnezzar goes, and if we look at the age, think about the age of Daniel, how old was he when he was taken prisoner of Babylon? I would say 15, maybe 15 years old, 3 years indoctrination, now 18 years old, 19 years old. In verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar's second year. So is Daniel 19 year old? So what king's going to go to a 19-year-old kid and ask for consultation? That's how the Lord worked it out. So, Joseph and Daniel, two great stories. And this shows how God interprets his Bible. There's one interpretation, and if we allow God to do the interpreting, not you or I, not the Catholic Church, but it comes right from God. Okay, and then in 1 Corinthians 2, the Spirit shows us how he teaches the Bible. He tells us how to do it. Okay, if you've got your finger here, let's go to page 777. It's a good page in the Bible. Nehemiah 8:8. There are some things that happen to occur in this reference Bible that I did not plan. Page 666 has a chapter 13 on it. Page 777 is the greatest chapter on how to conduct a public meeting, a Bible meeting. Nehemiah 8:8. You'll see there's a three-point outline in there. Nehemiah 8, verse 8. And so this is how a public meeting is supposed to take place. You read 1 through 8. Now, it's not identical because we are definitely not going to go that long. They read it for a fourth part of the day and all that stuff. But in verse 8, it gives a little three-point outline. And it says, so they read in the book of the law distinctly. Okay, point number one. Wow, that's tough. Read the Bible. Okay, Bible, B-I-U-L. B-I-B-U-L. Okay, so point one, read the Bible. So that's why I read it. And then it says, and gave the sense. Okay, what's the common phrase in that? Well, now that makes sense. Point three, and caused them to understand the reading. Okay, now understand the reading. So you walk out the door. Oh, Job 32, verse 8. This is what inspiration means. If you go to almost all the Christian colleges, they limit inspiration to some invisible manuscripts years ago. This is the good and the bad. That's what they're doing. Inspiration is present tense. All scripture is given. Is given. That's present tense. It says in Ephesians, the Spirit is given. That's present tense. What is inspiration? Job 32:8 defines it. It's a real easy term to define. It amazes me how people don't understand the definition when you only got to look at two verses. You write all the Christian, what's inspiration mean? It means God. God breathed. God breathed. No, it doesn't. That's a secular term. Job 32:8. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth, he escaped, giveth them understanding. Now, if you look at the word inspiration, notice letter 3, 4, 5, and 6, the first part of spirit. The Spirit of God speaks to your spirit when your spirit understands the words, inspiration just occurred. And you say, that makes sense. The light turned on. That's what biblical inspiration is. And that's what a successful preaching service takes place. Several years ago, Jan's sister was down at Rensselaer. She's missionary to Costa Rica, Mexico, Panama. They're not of our persuasion of belief. But after I got done speaking, she gave me this wonderful comment. She said, you know, it was nice to see what it said for a change rather than just hear it. That told me that she saw that what I was saying was in the book. And it clicked. And that's what it should do. And when it clicks, the eyes go like this. See, and that's where it gets directly from God. The channel comes through. The Spirit of God guides us in all truth. Okay, but when you say, I understand that. Okay, salvation is full and free in Jesus. That makes sense. That's inspiration. It's interesting, if you do have a computer program and you type in is given, all scripture is given, type in is given, hit phrase, it'll come up and you'll see it's present tense. Inspiration has to be present tense to be biblical. So when you understand it, that makes sense. And when it makes sense to you, oh man, that's a blessing. So back in Daniel 2, now Daniel... or Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, it didn't make sense to him. Much of the Bible to people don't make any sense to them. Okay, and so when you show them, okay, take this verse, put it with this one, put them together, does that help? Oh, yeah, yeah. That's how the Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, 1 Corinthians 2:13. And when you get that, the credit goes to God rather than your scholarship. Most preachers, this is how they were taught, not saying good or bad, this is how they were taught. They'll say originals, blah, 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 the Greek word, blah, 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 Hebrew word, blah, blah, blah. People go out there, wow, he's smart. No, he's probably got a big school debt. But when you show it in English and you go out and say, wow, that book's amazing. There we go. That's what we want. That's where God gets the credit. So, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. The second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams. Wherewith his spirit was troubled, his sleep break from him. So it's a bad dream. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, and sorcerers. Why would that guy call them? Why in the world would a guy running a kingdom call Mr. Wizard? Why would he call him? Because that's the connections they make with friends in high places. And they consult the stars. And that's what an inaugural address is about. An augur, A-U-G-U-R, was a Roman priest that would study the innards of a bird And he would advise, can you imagine that? Advise the king about political affairs by the innards of a bird. Well, look at that gizzard. Well, I think that gizzard means you ought to vote for this. How absurd is that? But that's what goes on. I'm old enough to remember when it came out publicly that Nancy Reagan consulted the stars about Ronald Reagan traveling. Christians, oh, what's the big deal? Hillary consults Eleanor Roosevelt. You know, they all do this. The Bible teaches this. Ephesians 6:12. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what these guys are consulting. Over in Area 51, yeah, they're consulting somebody. But according to Sneblin, they moved all that stuff up to Seattle. Who knows? So, magicians. This is the Magi. The kings that came, like the kings that came and saw the Christ child. Astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Okay, so this is the hoi polloi of Babylon. Highly educated. You know, doing little seances, sorcerers, smoking their weed, you know, snorting up the coke. You know, that. Yeah. Steve Jobs, years ago, he sort of kind of joked about Bill Gates because he don't snort enough to get enough ideas. You know, and stuff like that. But, And so in verse 3, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. So they made this a big deal. Okay, now in verse 4, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. Okay, Syriac is the language of Syria, Aramaic. The scholars tell us that at that verse, clear to the end of chapter 7, this is the only portion of the Old Testament that wasn't written in Hebrew. It was written in Syriac. Big deal, don't matter, I'm reading it in English. Okay, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syria, O king, live forever. Well, yeah, just a formal thing. Let thy servants, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Okay, so you got your interpretation, I got my interpretation, he's got his interpretation. They all get together, and the king said, well, I like his better than his interpretation. Problem here is he forgot the dream. You ever have a good dream, you wake up, oh, man, that was a good one. I want to go back to sleep, try to pick up where I left off. You know, I could dream as the Lord's television through the nighttime for us. But there's some of them bad dreams, too. You know, often I'm dreaming, I'm preaching, and then I look down and I forgot to put my pants on. You know, that's kind of embarrassing. So my dreams, step out, oh, I'll stay back here. You know, those are kind of goofy dreams. But verse 5, so now notice these Oriental kings. They're different than American presidents and politicians, at least. The Oriental kings, they don't care about PR. So here he goes. The king answered, said to the Caliph, the thing is gone from me. I can't remember it. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, which interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Wow, that's real logical. You mean you want me to tell you what you dreamed, and if I don't, I get cut up? Thrown in a manure pile? Yeah. Some kings just are not logical. And they don't care. This is how they view people. They don't care. You and I are nothing but a pawn. This is what bothers me a lot, you know, about politicians in America, where they snub their nose at the military and they will send good soldiers to a place where we got no business being there. And then these people will suffer tragic things in their lives, come back home, and then they don't even take care of them. And then these stinking politicians are just, You know, I wish the soldiers would get together and send all of Congress there. Clean out Congress at the same time. But this is just how things are in life. So these Oriental kings, now, he did not care what the can you imagine a politician publicly saying that? They'd be ripped to shreds by the news media. Oriental kings, they don't care. China doesn't care what's going on in Hong Kong. They don't care what Americans think. They're just biding their time. Right, Jan? And when they want to do it, Hong Kong people can be out there protesting all they want. And the Chinese government makes the order. Soldiers will come in. The cameras will be turned off. And Hong Kong will fall in line. And America will have zero say-so. And China will keep their favored nation status. You see, Oriental kings, they don't care. They just do as they wish because they think they're gods. They believe they're gods. And they will take this one out, take that one out, take this one out. China right now with the social credit system, that's coming to America through Google, where the credit system is, if you're naughty by camera, they will discredit you and you can't ride a bus, fly a plane until you get your credit score up. And one way to get your credit score up is if you got a single family dwelling, just let them destroy it and you get more credit. Right, Jan? Lyle knew a guy that begged them to come and destroy his house because his credit was low. They don't want single-family dwellings. Why? That's too independent. They want them in a big apartment complex. You can control people that way. Google is working on that for America. Okay? And so that's how the Antichrist will able to limit people to an area because they have a bad credit score. It's got nothing to do with your credit. It's all to do with if you're a good boy or good girl, according to their system. So the Oriental mindset, remember the Bible is an Oriental book. We Americans forget that. Americans often interpret the Bible through a Western mindset, and that's not the Bible. What's going to happen to America? America is going to do the same as all other nations. They're going to get together against Jerusalem during the tribulation. The Bible's true. Nothing's going to change. Okay, so that's what the kings can do. Okay, there's the punishment. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Yeah. Therefore, show me the dream and interpretation thereof. Where do you get those gifts and rewards? He stole them from the people because they're nothing but pawns, slaves under him. So verse 7, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will show the interpretation of it. So they're obviously, you know, trying to save their hide. King answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time because ye see that the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. Chaldeans answered before the king, said, there is not a man upon earth that can show the king's matter. You're right. Therefore, there's no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other than that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And watch the reaction. When you challenge somebody like this, how dare you challenge me? Okay, reaction. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The guy's a narcissist. Is he not a narcissist? Narcissism is becoming epidemic in our country. And it's good to learn how to deal with a narcissist. And I preached a message on that a couple years back. And that, there's only, you know, there's no way to communicate with these people, to reason with them. You have to behave as a gray rock. Okay, if you want to learn more about that, get on YouTube, type in Little Shaman. It's a lady we listen to, and you learn a lot of things because you're going to be dealing with them all over the place. Narcissism is a person who thinks the world revolves around them, and there's no logic that you can even reason with them. It is very unusual. Okay, and so this guy, this is a very unusual request. Is it not an insane request? Okay, and the decree went forth and a wise man should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Okay, so if Daniel's not even 20 years old, and remember he was brought in good favor, so picking up in verse 14 down to 30, what we're going to see is in the writing is going to reveal that only God is the interpreter of the Bible, and then God shows how he interprets the Bible. And if you and I fall in line with what God does and how he interprets the Bible itself becomes a final authority. And then if you point people to the Bible and they get an attitude of going to the Bible for their source, then when you have disagreements, instead of arguing and trying to prove your point, it's more of a brainstorming where, let's all go to the Bible and try to figure this out. And then let the Bible determine what is the answer. So, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch. Okay, yeah, definitely. The captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king said, Why is the decree so hasty? What's the big hurry? From the king. Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. So, now Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, remember, when a magician asked for that, he refused it. So Daniel evidently has a reputation here because of Melzar, and Daniel is cooperative, shall we say, as far as he can be. And so the king's going to grant this. And so what did Daniel do? Daniel went to his house and made the thing known unto. Okay, there's their Hebrew names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, good friends. What did they do? They did what you should do to try to get an interpretation of the Bible. You pray. Oh, how unique is that? If I don't understand something in the Bible, obviously the Bible is wrong, so I'm going to run to my Greek lexicons and, you know, Weiss word studies and maybe this leprechaun will help me figure it out. No, how about getting on your knees and figure out you're the problem, not God, and say, Lord, I can't figure it out. And then you'll be amazed with what God shows you. Okay, so then that they would desire mercies of God of heaven, and it is God's mercy that it would show us anything concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel did what you should do after God shows you something. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Thank you, Lord. How did I miss that? It's right there in front of us. So he blessed God. He gave God the credit. He thanked God for what he learned. 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. That's right. That's where it is. And then he says, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. So it's the Lord where we come to, and the Lord is the one that shows us these things. Okay, when Joseph had a problem, when he discovered, my wife-to-be is pregnant, what do I do? I love God. I don't want to offend my God. I love her. I don't want to make a show of her. What do I do? And that night, God gave him the answer. That's the thing to do. Often, pray about it and sleep on it. I don't know how many times growing up we'd be working on something, building a bin, working on equipment or something like that. Get 4 or 5 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock at night before supper, and Dad would say, I think we're done for today. And really, we were at a standstill. We didn't know what we were going to do next. But when we got up in the morning, I don't know if Dad called the hotline or something. Somehow he got an answer. And we had a solution in the morning. He slept on it. And the Lord speaks to us while we're sleeping. And that's one thing you can pray for your loved one. Okay, somebody that maybe is not saved or somebody, ask the Lord to speak to them while they're sleeping. It's a great time because they're not talking. They might be listening. And the Lord, and you read Job chapter 33, that is one place where God does speak to people through the night while they're sleeping. And so it's a prayer we can pray. So Daniel prayed on it, slept on it, and God gave him the answer. And in verse 21, we can see that God gave him the answer, and he also got the interpretation where he's going to show him kingdoms in the future. So he's going to show him Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. Rome at that time was probably the size of Mount Air, you know, that big metropolis down there, Mount Air. Okay, and you tell some Mount Air is going to be world kingdom someday. Right. You don't even got a mountain. Okay, well, now it does. It's got that big trash heap down there. But this is the Lord. And when we see it this way, we come to the Bible, we ask the author to explain it to us, and we read it. And sometimes when you ask the Lord a question, rarely does he give you an answer right on the spot. It's kind of rare. But when you ask the question, I like what Sam Gibbs says, you ask the question and then forget the question and keep reading. And the Lord, for me, my sake, it's usually within 7 days where you even forgot the question. The Lord might say, hey, you remember that question? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Well, here's the answer. You're ready for it now. Here's the answer. And it might be a year down the road. It might be 2 years down the road. Remember when the Lord in John 14, 15, and 16 told the apostles about the Holy Ghost coming in them and all that stuff? When Cornelius got saved in Acts 10, the Spirit of God said to Peter, and Peter said, oh, I remember. Just off the cuff. The Lord's got a great computer system. And so in verse 23, he says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers. Okay, you can see Jewish fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So he gave praise and glory to God. So when he gets that answer, boy, you're excited about that. 24, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon, but he went and said unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Now, you know, that one right there, I kind of might, you know, astrologers, go ahead, take care of that one. Keep that one in. You can keep that one in. But you know, we'll give you an answer. But, okay, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto him, the king, the interpretation. Okay, just like Joseph. Okay, now he's made third ruler in the kingdom, not here, but later on in Daniel 5. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar? Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Okay, and Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, now this right here is kind of a little dig. He says, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians who show unto the king? Dr. Dry as dust, he don't know what he's talking about. Yeah. And this is a 19-year-old kid, remember, 19, 20-year-old kid, man. This is, ooh, man, this is digging. And, you know, and if he's harboring any resentment about being taken away from Babylon, he might have enjoyed that. You know, digging that in there. But whatever. And then he said, but there is a God in heaven. Okay, now we're getting where the credit belongs. There is not a seminary on earth. There's not a lexicon on earth. There's not Weiss word studies that helps us out. There's a God in heaven that will help us out. That revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Okay, not last days. There's a unique difference. Okay, latter time in 1 Timothy 4. Last days are specifically about Daniel's 70 weeks. What shall be in the latter days, the dream and the visions of thy head upon of thy bed are these. So now he tells it. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? I wonder how many people think about that when they're laying in bed. The hereafter. I think a lot of people do. Okay, the hereafter. What's hereafter? And it says, he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. Prophecy. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Okay, and then he starts going into the dream. But the basic underlying foundation here is Daniel is not taking any credit for the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, for the interpretation. He's throwing it all back on God. And when a person gives credit to God, then God can trust that person with more light, knowing that the pattern is going to keep up, that God is going to get more glory. But when a person starts taking credit for the knowledge and wisdom, God's going to start, okay, you're kind of getting too big for your britches. So then he pulls back the light. And so that's why we want to focus people to the book and give the glory to whom deserves the glory, and that's the God of this book. And when we do that, then God can entrust us with more truth so that we can tell others about other areas. Okay, so in verse 31, we'll stop there. He starts getting into the dream. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and we do ask you to help us to recognize, remember, pray that you are the interpreter of the Bible, that only you and you alone, you the author of the Bible or the teacher of the Bible, you guide us into all truth. Help us to know that that is a promise, that the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth and help us to claim that promise and ask the Spirit to guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.